Leading LDS is a nonprofit organization dedicated to enhancing leadership ability and capacity of lay leaders in order to accelerate the mission of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Leading LDS is not owned nor operated by the LDS Church, and any opinions expressed on this podcast do not reflect the views of any specific organization. All donations given to Leading LDS are tax deductible and go towards the support of Leading LDS. For more information, visit leadinglds.org. Hello and welcome to the Leading LDS podcast. My name is Kurt Frankum. I'm the executive director of Leading LDS and also the host of the Leading LDS podcast. If you're new to Leading LDS, I welcome you. We produce a regular podcast where we discuss topics that will help lay leaders in the LDS church enhance their leadership ability and capacity. And we do that through various methods. One of those being, we interview really smart and intelligent people who have experience in leadership, whether in or outside the church, and we talk about strong leadership principles in the context of the LDS church. We also have a segment called How I Lead, where we interview everyday leaders and ask them how is it they go about their day-to-day, week-to-week responsibilities as a lay leader in the church. And what you're bound to hear is a WeWick segment, where we crowdsource the community of Leading LDS and ask them to finish the sentence, what I wish I knew when I was Elders Quorum president, when I was bishop, Relief Society president, young men's president, young women's president, whatever it is. And in this episode, we focus on what I wish I knew before I was Elders Quorum president. Each voice that you'll hear, we've given them 5 minutes or less to talk about what they wish they knew before they were called as Elders Quorum president. Thank you for all the support you show to Leading LDS. And now, what I wish I knew before I was Elders Quorum president.
My name is Adam Ellsworth. I'm currently an Elders Quorum president. Have been for about 2 years now. What I wish I knew before I was called, or when I was called as an Elders Quorum president, is a little bit of a challenging question. So I feel like I had all the spiritual tools I needed to go to Heavenly Father and find out what my quorum needed. And I already somehow, because I didn't have them, had a strong sense that I should be having one-on-one interviews with my quorum members regularly. So we have done that, and those have been very effective and very helpful for ministering in my quorum and to those we home teach. So I had those tools in place, but one thing that is maybe a little surprising, or didn't suspect, although it seems obvious, is that the more things that I can put on autopilot, or better said, the more things I can have pre-scheduled that I don't have to go through the process of scheduling each month, the more effective I've been. So for example, with my first Elders Quorum presidency, my two counselors moved away, but with those two, we didn't necessarily have a set time each month that we would have our presidency meeting. I think we had a goal, and it changed pretty frequently. And as a result, it was hard to schedule. Well, as a result, we had fewer Elders Quorum presidency meetings because they didn't necessarily schedule a hard day each month that they were going to be available. And so by the time it came around that we asked, hey, can we have an Elders Quorum presidency meeting this day? No, wife has an obligation, or they had an obligation, and it wouldn't work out. Same thing held true for one-to-one interviews with quorum members. We didn't have a set day each month that we were going to try to do it. And so as each month came around, it felt like we were scrambling. And so with my second set of counselors, we've tried to be more diligent. And the first day of the month, we're going to have these one-to-one interviews. And so we're able to get more people on that day. It's just one thing we don't have to think about and worry about and schedule. It's already set. So we're able to get more people that day, and then we can do fewer follow-up interviews. It takes a lot less work. With a presidency meeting, it's the same way. We have it on a certain day each month. Everyone can already clear their calendar for it. Same is true for home teaching visits. If I have a set visit day with my home teaching family, it's a lot easier. I mean, the scheduling is probably one of the main hindrances, at least for active members, to doing home teaching and one-to-one visits and et cetera. And so the more things that we can set on that autopilot or on the pre-scheduled, the more time we're able to devote to spiritual matters and focusing on, contemplating the needs of our quorum. So that's something I think I'm learning and wish I knew when I started, and I guess wish I knew even better now and implemented better now.
This is Arthur Boutin in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and this is a list of things that I wish I knew before I was an Elders Quorum president. Number one, at the start, make home visits a priority. Number two, meet as a presidency weekly. Number three, create a vision and set goals with your quorum. And number four, focus on having monthly home teaching interviews with each companionship. Number one, at the start of it, make home visits a priority. When you first called it as a presidency, I would have tried to get into everyone's home as quickly as possible. Tried to get to know them, their wives, their children, what were they interested in. Find ways to connect and serve them. I found this was an important preliminary step in gaining their trust. And once I had done this, I was better able to gain revelation on their behalf and in regards to how to best position them for home teaching or how to serve them. Number two, meet as a presidency weekly. I'm not one to have a meeting just to meet. However, I found when we met less, there was less things to meet about. And I felt them more and more out of touch in my calling. When we met more, we had more opportunities to counsel together, and this gave the spirit an opportunity to work on us, and we moved the work ahead a little bit more each week. Of course, if a meeting needs to be canceled, then it's not a huge issue as you would have met just recently. Stay engaged with weekly short presidency meetings. Number three, create a vision and set goals with your quorum. Use the first Sunday business meetings to conduct the business of your quorum. These should not be a lesson like the other Sundays of the month. Review and set and achieve the goals and vision of your quorum during these meetings. Come up with them in your quorum business meetings and make sure that the quorum feels that they have ownership of these goals. Then go out together and accomplish them. Finally, number four, focus on having monthly home teaching interviews with each companionship. I learned that when you stand up and remind people about their home teaching or pound the pulpit demanding better results, people would just turn off. Instead, we made attendance at home teaching interviews our focus and set a goal for 100% attendance. At these meetings, we would ask the companionships about their family's needs and find out how they are being served. This had the best relate results in regards to improving home teaching in our quorum. Thank you for the opportunity and best of luck.
Things that I wish I would have known before I was called to be an Elders Quorum President. I'm currently serving as an Elders Quorum President, and I have been in this calling for the past 3 years. Prior to this calling, I had several different callings as Elders Quorum instructor, as a Sunday school teacher, and even a primary teacher, but not anything to do with church leadership. So this was really kind of an eye-opening calling for me. So before I was an Elders Quorum President, I wish I would have known that I need to do everything out of love. Love for the Savior, love for the elders that I have stewardship over. By doing everything out of love helps to drive the decisions that I come to for individual elders I'm working with, or even as the elders quorum as a whole. Always seek the Spirit. Do those things to have the Spirit be with you daily. Know that you can't do this alone, that you're going to need inspiration and revelation from the Lord as you go about this calling. Bear your testimony often. Leave no doubt in the minds of the elders what you believe. Bear your testimony in quorum meeting, in visits with them, and during your stewardship interviews. Just bear your testimony and promise them blessings. Know the blessings that you can promise them. Read the scriptures. Know the blessings you can promise them. A great scriptural reference on bearing your testimony is found in Alma chapter 5, verse 43 through 48. I lead by serving, not serve by leading. And what I mean by that is that the elders know that when there's assignment given, either to the quorum or each individually, if it's a quorum thing, an assignment, they know that I will be there, that I'm not just making an assignment and sending them off to do it, that I will be there to work shoulder to shoulder with them. If it's an individual assignment, they know that I will be there to support them and be a resource to them. Know that this is more than a Sunday-only calling. Plan one or two extra days a week that you'll be working on things for the elders and the elders' quorum. Allow for failures or missed assignments. I get this from the Multipliers book by Liz Wiseman, where I learn that as I give assignments out to individuals, to the elders, or even as a group assignment to that I need to allow them to own this assignment, to figure out what needs to be done to complete this assignment, and let them know that I'm a resource, but they own the assignment. And sometimes that means that the assignment gets finished, and sometimes that means it gets done, but not the way you think it should be done. or maybe even the assignment doesn't get finished at all. But allow for this. This is the way that the elders will be able to grow, or the individual you assign will be able to grow. Be consistent with everything, with your home teaching reporting or following up on challenges, commitments. Just be consistent. Be patient, but persistent. Don't be afraid to get commitments from members of the quorum to help further along their conversion process. Commitments such as read a conference talk a day, read the scriptures for 5 minutes a day, or say a meaningful prayer and then listen for an answer. Another resource that I've used that I go back to for inspiration is a conference talk by President Monson from the October 2012 priesthood session. And the title of the conference talk is See Others as They May Become. Great, great talk on how to see others as the Lord sees them and how that helps me to develop love for them as the Savior has love for them. Don't just look at an elder as they are today, but look at them how the Savior would see them. And one last resource that I use is out of Preach My Gospel, chapter 11. It's titled, How Do I Help People Make and Keep Commitments? This is a great resource on just that, how to help make and keep commitments.
Before I was an elders quorum president, I wish I would have known just how much I would miss it after I was released. When I was released from being an elders quorum president, I cried on the way home. I was by myself, and I was filled with just an amazing amount of love for my brothers. The nature of my release was that I was being called into a high priest calling, and I knew that I would be leaving a very special kind of a brotherhood. That is the elders quorum, and there's a lot of times that I miss it. I was woefully unprepared for and pleasantly surprised by the degree to which the Lord was willing to bless me with love and charity for my brothers. So if I had to distill it, it would be that. On a more specific kind of brass tacks level, I wish that I had had a greater appreciation for the value of a quality quorum secretary. In my 3 years in the Elders Quorum Presidency, I had 17 brothers serve as my counselor at different times, and I had 3 secretaries. I would have traded, in retrospect, any one of my best counselors to be a secretary during that period, to help me stay organized, to help drive the agenda, to help with the reporting and the feedback and the follow-up. I ended up doing my own secretarial tasks enough that it would burn up a lot of the bandwidth that I had to give to my calling in any given week. And as a result, I ended up probably under-ministering and under-utilizing my counselors. And a secretary is not third counselor. So anyway, that's probably what I think back most on, is just how willing the Lord is to bless us with love for those over whom we preside. And if we don't feel that, we can ask for it and receive it. And then administratively, I wish I'd had a better understanding of how to utilize a secretary in a quality way. You can work with a counselor or two who may be struggling or a little less valiant than you would wish if you've got a quality secretary.
Before I was Elders Quorum President, I wish I knew that it's so much more than being over home teaching. It's about ministering to those we have stewardship over, and home teaching is only one of the ways to minister. We need good lessons to build us up and allow us to learn. We need activities where we can feel the brotherhood of the quorum and a sense of belonging. We need outlets for service to help lift us up and grow those around us. We need direction on how to preside in our home and to help our families. And yes, we do need home teaching in order to visit each member and watch over the church. So as we listen to the Spirit and look for balance in your quorum, then you can help. But those are things that I wish I knew before I was called as Elders Quorum President.
Before I was Elders Quorum President, I wish I would have known how much time is actually spent updating home teaching routes. I think if I knew how much time was spent on that, I probably would have said no to the stake president. But one thing that I did learn from that is that If you can have a good system of organization, if you have a good secretary that helps keep you on track, then all that becomes a lot easier. Having counselors who understand what their role and function is and actually do something. So it's not just you as the president trying to carry the load, but you actually have counselors that are supporting you and you're holding them accountable to that. You're giving them the instruction they need so that they are also fulfilling their calling. They can magnify that and that delegation is taking place. Outside of that, what I would recommend is just don't be afraid to try new things, do things different, kind of break up some of those traditions that we have in the church. The handbook is great. It gives you all those core principles and provides that outline for you to follow, but it doesn't answer everything. Not all things are found in the handbook. So that's when your personal experiences come in, the gifts and talents that you have come into play and how you can use those to help everyone out in the quorum. And so just be in yourself and approaching it and just don't take it too seriously.
Before I was Elders Quorum president, I wish I knew how important it was to have Elders Quorum socials. This may seem like a small thing, and I'm sure most of the other advice will be things like holding PPIs, or reaching out to the less active, or visits. And all of those are important, but I think you can accomplish all three of those things with socials. Much of what makes a PPI so effective is the relationship you build with the elders. You do the same thing at a social, which is not to say you should replace PPIs with socials, but that they can help you reach the same goal. Socials are also great at reaching out to the less active. There are lots of people who won't come to church, but they will come to a barbecue. And finally, visits. A social gives you an excuse for your visit. You're not there to chastise them for not coming to church. You're there to invite them to gather at someone's house and watch a basketball game. And if in the course of that game they realize that you're all great guys, then so much the better. The power of Elders Quorum socials. That's what I wish I knew before I was called as an Elders Quorum president.
Before I was Elders Quorum president, I wish I would have known that not every moment of a quorum meeting can be devoted to the actual lesson. What we've started doing the last few months is we have a little bit of a few minutes every week where we have what we call the question of the week. Someone comes up with a question, maybe it's favorite cereal, favorite ice cream, favorite movie, whatever it might be, something to allow everyone to kind of share a little bit about themselves. We get to know each other a little bit better and we laugh. Sometimes it's a humorous couple of minutes, but we let it go 5, 6, 8 minutes, however long we sort of need to settle in as a quorum. And at which point our lessons have been a much more effective, much more discussion, more experiences being shared, because we've taken that time at the beginning of the lesson to really kind of break that ice and get people participating beforehand. I wish I would have known that the vision that I see and that I have for our quorum, what it could be, is not what others may see or will be able to see. And so to be patient with that, to continue to teach and to lead, understanding that others may not see the same thing that you see or recognize the same things that you recognize. I wish I would have known that I should teach and that doctrines and principles should be taught and not applications and programs. And that seems simple enough, but there's things that you're going to want to feel like you can change. Home teaching is obviously a big one. How to make home teaching better. And you're going to have ideas that you think, man, this is going to work. This is going to be what does it. And it may or may not happen. But if you're focused on teaching doctrines and principles and not applications or programs, that those changes will occur. I wish I would have read initially and early on President Eyring's October 2002 conference talk called Rise to Your Call. I keep this on a saved page on my phone and I refer to it often. One of the biggest things in that talk that I wish I would have known is that the concept that as we serve, that not only are our efforts multiplied by the Lord, but that the efforts of those around us and with whom we serve are magnified as well. He talks about things being taken care of, issues being addressed before he could even get to them, that they'd already been taken care of. And when tough days and or weeks come, I have been able to pray to have my eyes open to the good work and things that the brethren in our quorum are doing, bless the lives of others. And I have always been blessed to see those things, and those tough days become a little bit lighter. I wish I would have known that I should be listening more and talking less. And that includes teaching. I love to teach. And the first year or so, I took a lot of opportunities to teach. I felt like I had a lot to offer, a lot to say, a lot that was on my mind. And I found that over time, the more I taught, the less effective I felt like our lessons were, that my voice was becoming a little bit stale. And so I have learned to pick my spots and pick and choose the times and places where I feel like I will be most effective using the keys that I hold to teach. When the Spirit moves me, when there's something that's on my mind that, you know, it really needs to be taught, or a lesson that needs to be taught. But also within our quorum meetings, or even other meetings in church, Sunday school or sacrament meeting talks, or home teaching appointments, or in-home visits, wherever they might be, to listen to the comments that brethren and or maybe their families are making. There's a lot that you can learn about a person and their situation just by observing and listening to them and listening to the Spirit.
Hey, this is Kurt Frankum again. I'm the host of the Leading LDS podcast, and I actually had opportunity to be an Elders Quorum president in the YSA ward where I met my wife over 10 years ago. And what I wish I would have known before I was an Elders Quorum president comes down to three things. Number one, delegate every last administrative task of home teaching. When I was called as an Elders Quorum president, this was my first experience in a leadership role. And I remember spending hours upon hours in the clerk's office updating home teaching and sitting in front of the computer. But sitting in front of a computer will never be as valuable as sitting in front of a quorum member. Which leads me to my second point. Never underestimate the power of a PPI or stewardship interview, one-on-one interviews on a monthly basis. That's right, on a monthly basis. This is something I did as a high priest group leader later on that changed the dynamic of our group. And if I could go back as an Elders Quorum president, I would do the same thing. Now, keep in mind that I was an Elders Quorum president that was huge in a YSA ward. We had over 96 elders, even though Doctrine and Covenants says you can have no more than 96 elders in the quorum. We probably should have split it. Now, I still would have met with every single elder every week. And how would I have done that? Well, if you meet for 5 minutes every week, maybe on a Saturday morning, you could get it done in 2 hours every week. Sounds extreme, but maybe that's a good sign that you need to split the quorum if you're that big. But I'm serious. If you meet, you personally, not delegating it to a counselor, with every member of your quorum, I'm willing to bet that you could do it, especially when so many elders' quorums are smaller, maybe 30, 40 people, right? By doing this and getting really good at one-to-one interviews, you will connect on a deeper level compared to anything else you can do as an elders' quorum president. One-to-one consistent interviews, it will change everything. And lastly, some of the best advice I got from a mentor long ago is he told me never let a quorum meeting turn into another Sunday school class. Sure, we have our manuals, we have a lesson that we are instructed to call a teacher and prepare, but that doesn't mean it can't be done in 3 minutes and 5 minutes at the end. Take the quorum meeting and unify it around a vision, a purpose, and address that purpose every week. And if there's something related to that purpose and that vision that needs to be talked about, brainstorm, engage the hearts and minds of those leaders in your quorum. Take the time in a quorum meeting to act like a quorum and not just another Sunday school class. That's what I wish I knew before I was Elders Quorum president. There you have it. What I wish I knew before I was Elders Quorum president. Now, if you would like to contribute to the WeWick episode and tell us what you wish you would have known before you were Elders Quorum president, check out the show notes at leadinglds.org, and there will be a link there to contribute your own experience as Elders Quorum president. We encourage you to check out the many other episodes of the WeWick segment. I encourage you to be part of the Leading LDS community by becoming a core leader, which means you contribute to Leading LDS on a monthly basis. No matter how big or how small, you are welcome into the Leading LDS community as a core leader, and you will have access to additional content that will help you better lead in your capacity as a lay leader in the LDS Church. So for more information, visit leadinglds.org and become a core leader. Until next time, be a leader and not a calling.
It came as a result of the position of leadership which was imposed upon us by the God of heaven, who brought forth a restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the declaration was made concerning the only true and living church upon the face of the earth, we were immediately put in a position of loneliness. The loneliness of leadership, from which we cannot shrink nor run away, and to which we must face up with boldness and courage and ability.